Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Barry Mann joins us right now, and live on PMP. Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a child of the 60s, grew up with your music, and I don't think it would have been the same without Soul and Inspiration, and you've got that Love and Feel and some of the other great songs you've written.
Oh, thanks.
I guess I want to know a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and when did you start getting into music?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I just started to get into, I started to write songs when I was about 11, 12 years old. I picked up ukulele at one point and learned chords just by that. A ukulele is like the last four strings of a guitar. And I took some regular piano lessons just to basically learn the piano, and then it took for about a year and a half. And then I took popular piano lessons where the teacher would give me songs that were hits of that period, and he'd teach me the chords. And from there, I just started to write songs when I was about 13. And I never thought of doing it seriously as a profession. And I ended up going to college for a year. But to make money, tuition for college, I worked up in the Catskill Mountains as a busboy. And I used to perform at talent shows. I sang some of my songs that I had written. And there was one guest who was a music publisher. And he said, you know, kid, if you ever want to go into the business, give me a call. And I had for some reason, I kept the number, but I had no thoughts about going into the business. But after I went to college for 1 year, I studied architecture at Pratt. I quit. I couldn't picture myself as an architect. So for some reason, that number that I had kept, I looked it up, and I played five of my songs. And he took one. And that's how I kind of got my beginning.
Well, it's interesting. You're known as a songwriter, but of course, in the early 60s, in 1961, you had a huge hit on your own.
That's true.
Who put the bump in the bump? Yeah. And you sang that yourself.
Yes.
Now, so what made you then go from hearing a top hit, singing yourself, to becoming behind the scenes, the Brill Building, that whole thing, and being a lyricist, being a songwriter?
Well, the truth is that at that point, I didn't have a follow-up, you know, and throughout my career, I did have other record deals, you know. I was always trying to make it as an artist. And at one point, I just kind of stopped. So I was really doing both, because I always felt if I ended up becoming a recording artist, it would be easier for me as a songwriter to cut out the middleman, you know what I'm saying, to get take my material right to the artist. I'd be the artist. And if I wasn't, then you have to go to an A&R person or... So, but I did try recording in between that time. But I kept writing, and over the years, you know, I've had hits, and like my first hit was in 1959, a song called She Say Doobie Doom by the Diamonds. I've had hits in the 60s, I've had hits in the 70s, I've had hits in the 80s, I even had a hit in the 90s. So I kind of really just kept going.
What was your most recent in the 90s?
I had a song by Hanson. We wrote with Hanson. We had a song called I Will Come to You. It was it got a lot of good play in New York and Chicago. It was a top five record, as a matter of fact.
Wow. We're talking about Barry Mann. And, of course, without Barry Mann, the Righteous Brothers, they wouldn't have been around. I mean, your Soul and Inspiration, you got that Love and Feeling, and even their comeback song, Rock and Roll Heaven, was all from you.
No, Rock and Roll Heaven I didn't write.
No, what was the other song that you wrote for them?
I wrote, you know, You've Lost That Love and Feeling and Soul and Inspiration, and there was... I think See That Girl, I think, might have been.
No, it was Rock and Roll Lullaby.
Rock and Roll, yeah, but that wasn't the Righteous Brothers. Rock and Roll Lullaby was B.J. Thomas.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was confusing them up.
Yeah. I mean, you know that You've Lost a Love and Feeling is the most played song of the 20th century.
Yes, it got that award from publisher.
Yeah, from BMI.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's, in fact, very cool. Yeah. It must be good for you because those nickels and dimes ching, ching, ching quite a bit.
But truthfully, more of the concept that it is the most played song of the 20th century is an honor to me. I would have never thought that when we were writing the song that could have ever happened.
Didn't Elvis do that song as well?
Yeah, Elvis did it also.
Yeah. And well, that and Soul and Inspiration, those two songs are just incredibly deep songs. They're great songs.
Nice.
And they will probably be around another 100 years from now.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think back at some of the early stuff, the Crystals Uptown and the Drifters on Broadway, mm-hmm. and then one of my favorite groups we just had on last week, Mark Lindsay, who told me to say hi to you.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
Mark, of course, became well-known, too, with songs like Kicks.
That's
with the Raiders.
Also.
Yeah. So that was some of the stuff that you've written.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I would have loved to put that in my album, those two songs, but, you know, I had to put only about 11 in there. And so we had to leave those out, but maybe if there's another album, I'd be able to do those.
Well, as we came in, we heard some of the stuff from Barry Mann's new CD. It's called Soul and Inspiration from Atlantic Records. And it has on it some of the great songs that you've written,
yeah.
but by you, and also with an incredible cast of guest stars.
Yes, yes.
So I guess you called in a few markers.
Well, yeah, you know, well, the one that I guess I'm the proudest of is, and the one that I can't say care the most about because I really like them all, but is You've Lost a Love and Feeling, because it's sung, Carol King sang it with me.
Mm.
And Carol goes back with me. She really started out with me, and we've been friends all over the years. And she was the first person that I wanted to, that was my choice to sing that song with me.
And she, of course, is part of that Brill Building crowd as well.
Yeah, she started in the Brill Building and also went on.
Mm. And you've got people like Richard Marx and Brian Adams and Daryl Hall and J.D. Souther and Peebo Bryson.
Yeah.
Quite a cast of supporting players.
Yeah,
in this.
I really feel honored to have a lot of those people in part of this album.
So if this thing goes well, then we'll see part two then.
I would hope so.
Well, I guess it's kind of a crazy question. I'm sure you get it all the time, but it's like someone asking me which one of my kids I like the best. But
right.
Do you have a favorite song of the ones you've written?
You know, it's like the songs are kind of like children. Exactly what you said. You know, it's hard to kind of pick out which one is your favorite. I mean, if I was trying to, I would think, look, You've Lost That Love and Feeling because of, to me, it was a combination of a soulful lyric, and at the same time a very meaningful lyric, and also because of the record at that time, it was probably one of the most it was probably one of the most profoundest produced records, you know, as it was produced by Phil Spector. So the whole combination probably adds up to probably being my favorite. But there are other songs. There's a song I wrote by myself called "There's No Easy Way to Break Somebody's Heart" that James Ingram ended up recording. It was never a big hit, but I really love that song a lot too.
You've Lost That Love and Feeling, as Barry mentioned earlier, is the most played song ever, according to BMI. They say that it has been played over 8 million times on radio and TV, and if you took that and added it all together, it equals more than 45 years of back-to-back play.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And that blew me away when I heard that.
And on Broadway, and sometimes when we touch, we're both also on that top 100 list of BMI.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes When We Touch was a great song that you co-wrote with the man who sang it, Dan Hill.
Yeah, with Dan, sure.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs also.
You know, I was going through all these songs, and all I could think of, I was trying to think of my favorite song.
Uh-huh.
And I can't, because I love Don't Know Much. I think that was a great song.
Well, thanks.
And Just Once, and that song from American Tale, Somewhere Out There, was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And a great song.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. You keep coming up with these. How do you stay fresh? How do you keep the ideas flowing?
You know, that's very hard to answer. I don't know. You know, I guess it depends on the artist we're writing for. That if the artist turns us on, it kind of inspires us to write for that artist. Or if there's a certain project, like American Tale was a great project, even though it sounds kind of obtuse. Here we wrote Somewhere Out There for two mice, and ended up coming up with that kind of song.
Yeah.
So there are all different ways that you get inspired to write.
You know, it's interesting, too, your lovely wife, Cynthia Weil. All I can picture is you walking over to her one day and saying, you know, we could write beautiful music together.
It didn't quite happen that way. We started going out, and Cynthia was writing lyrics at the time that were kind of very kind of show-oriented, because she always loved Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And I asked to see the lyrics, and because they were that, I really thought the combination of my kind of writing and her kind of lyrics would really be very fresh for the marketplace at that time. And it proved right.
What was the first song you guys collaborated on?
We wrote a song called A Little Less Talk and a little More Action. Oh, no. A song called Painting the Town with Teardrops.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, we got a record on it. I still remember the artist. His name was Vinnie Monti.
Really?
Yeah, but the first song that we had a chart record on was a song called Bless You that Tony Orlando sang when he was 15 years old. I don't know if you know the song.
I do, actually. Yeah, I know that song. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I understand you guys are working on a rock musical based on the movie Mask?
Yes, yeah. We finished it about a year ago. We've been looking for a director, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful show. We love what we did. I think it's very fresh for Broadway. And at some point, I think it will probably get there. But Broadway takes a long time to really, you know, to get to that place.
You know, I just went to a show with Lieber and Stoller songs.
Sure.
That's playing all around the country.
Yes.
And it seems to me like you, the Man and Wild show, could be certainly assembled with all the great songs you guys have written.
Well, we're working on that also.
Mm.
Yeah, we have a producer already on that and a director. We're just looking for the right concept. Instead, we don't want to do just a review of the songs. We want to get some kind of thread that holds it all together.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will all come together.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Shortly. This is a great great CD. I love some of the songs in it, and I love all the songs actually.
Oh,
but
thanks.
I mean,
thanks.
It's interesting though. I guess the question is a good one here, because you had this huge hit, "Who Put the Bomb."
Mm-hmm.
And it was by you, and it was written by you, and it was sung by you.
Yeah, with Jerry Goffin, by the way.
Right, exactly. Do you have a better feeling when you do it yourself, or does it make you just as happy and just as proud as someone else is singing your song?
It depends on the artist. I mean, when James Ingram sang my songs, I mean, I thought it was incredible, because I could never sing like James Ingram. He was just, to me, is one of the great singers of all time. So in that case, I would have preferred James singing my songs than me.
Well, certainly he did just once an incredible job on that Quincy Adams album, on Quincy Jones album, The Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when you even look at the groups of people that have done your songs, everyone from Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again to Hanson and I Will Come to You.
Right.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. You know, we're writing with a young writer now on Quincy's label, a kid named Catero, Catero, who's terrific. I mean, just a terrific singer and a talented writer, too. So we'll see what comes of that.
That's that's the name he's using?
Yes, it's his real name, too.
Hmm, Catero. I don't know why it sounds familiar. Maybe we've actually had him on.
You might have. He's on one of Quincy's albums right now.
Wow.
One of his compilation albums. He sang, I think he has two songs. He's singing on two of the songs on.
Do you enjoy writing for films? I know you've written for tons, from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation to The American Tale and Treasure Island, the Muppets movie and all that.
I love it. I really love it. Writing for that Muppets movie was just a blast. It was fantastic. I mean, first of all, the Henson organization is just a great organization to work for. And just writing from the Muppet characters was a lot of fun. To try to kind of be one of them was great.
There was rumors of you and Miss Piggy having a little relationship.
Oh, God, I didn't know that. It got out, huh?
It did, yeah. It was in the gossip columns. I was wondering if Cynthia was jealous of that.
No, she wasn't, but truthfully, I wasn't good enough for Miss Piggy.
Because I had heard that Cynthia was connected with the frog. Kermit.
Sometimes she thinks she's married to the frog.
See, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't want to spread vicious rumors or anything, Barry, you know? But this is great, though. I'm really thrilled to talk to you, because I grew up with your music, and I hope to be hearing it for a long, long time, a lot of new stuff, and I want to wish you a lot of luck on your show and the musical and everything else you're doing.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll talk again when the next CD comes out.
Well, thanks a lot.
Barry, take care.
Take care, too.
Barry Mann.